This is Voices of Our World, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. This is a story of love and loyalty. This is a story of a man and his dog. I met Joe and Luke at a training session at Canine Companions in Long Island, New York, another organization like Guiding Eyes for the Blind and Puppies Behind Bars that train mostly retrievers to assist handicapped persons. Jo was an older woman who had brought in Luke, a 5-year-old yellow lab, for a refresher course so that he could continue as a service dog bringing smiles to hospital patients. Luke had been the constant companion of Joe's son Mike, a double amputee who had died last January 10th. In Mike's last hour, Luke was allowed to lie next to him, on the bed, among the wires and tubes, beeping monitors, doctors, and nurses. Mike was clearly dying, and there was nothing left for Luke to do but just be there. But just a few months before, Mike had been in what is known as a free bleed, and Luke worked relentlessly to rouse Mike to save his life. Later, the New England ASPCA inducted Luke in their Hall of Fame. So Joe knew that Luke couldn't retire. He's a service dog, his eyes, nose, ears, tail, and paws all devoted to the job. So when Susan Hallett explains how she and fellow inmates managed to get through that awful moment when they must give up the year-old pup they just raised from roughly nursery school through high school age, she tells you they focus on the outcome. That pup is going on to college, so to speak, and he'll either go on to saving people from a smuggled bomb or restoring quality of life to a handicapped person. That's an accomplishment anyone would be proud of, enough to take the sting out of moving on. Again, Susan Hallett talks about Puppies Behind Bars.
It's a program that, and God bless every volunteer that goes in, because the facilities just would not be the same without them. But usually they come in and they do tutoring or mentoring or bring in a program, and they do everything they can to help you. And you sit there as an inmate just receiving all this. But Gloria came in and said, I'm not bringing you anything. I'm asking you to do this work. And believe me, it's going to be work. And there's going to be homework. And if you don't do it, then you can just leave the program. I'm not giving you anything. You're going to have to give back. And that was the first time somebody really let us know that we had talent, we had gift that was worth giving back. And so everybody kind of said, okay, we'll do this, not realizing the amount of work, and you just got into it, and you get so much from it. You really gain a lot from that program, and I don't think Gloria Stoga understood how much we were going to get from it. She just knew she had to get the dogs trained.
Everybody wins in this situation.
Absolutely. You win because you have a little bit of normalcy in your life. You have a pet. You have someone you're responsible for, and all of a sudden, you're training the dog, you're socializing him, and then you have classes, and they have scheduled play periods at
least once
a day.
So you actually have more than one job when you're inside.
Yeah. Because
you've got a job and some studies and the puppy to take care of.
And when you're at your job, you're really teaching the dog as well, because when they go to your job, they lay down and go to sleep.
Right.
They can't be up running around. They learn their commands that way. You also get them used to going to the bathroom at a certain time in a certain area, because when they go to work with a blind person who may or may not have a responsible job, they can't run out every 2 minutes. So the dog has to be trained. This is how I handle those chores. Everything you do, you learn why you're doing it. It's really the first chance that you as a prison inmate have the opportunity to give back, to give to somebody that you don't know and that you will never know. And you do it because you want to help someone. that makes you understand why volunteers come into the prison, because the feeling that you get from giving something just makes you feel so good. For a lot of the guys that are involved, it's the first time that they've really raised anything, you know, and they can understand. To them, it becomes like their child, and they understand how important parenting is. And they actually can learn parenting skills from dealing with a rebellious 6-month-old lab who is going through the terrible teens, you know, and say, wow, that's why my kid is doing that. And for a lot of people, they've never had that sensation. So it just hits in everything, every aspect that you don't think about. And people can really learn to communicate. They learn to deal with old issues. They learn love isn't being hit. Love is just that unselfish feeling of goodness that, you know, when you just give, you know, and just let it go. And
dogs just bring the best out of people.
Oh, they do. They allow you to be silly, and they allow you to be serious, and they allow you. See, dogs don't care what color you are. They don't care if you're fat or thin. They don't care if you're short or tall. All they care about is that you give them lots of hugs and kisses, that you give them food and maybe a treat or two a day, and that you play with them. And then they love you forever. And it's that kind of unconditional love. And that's really so true in our lives. And you make that connection.
How young are the dogs when you get them?
8 weeks old.
You don't get to pick. Somebody just hands you a pup?
No. Gloria knows the people that are involved in the program well enough to know what kind of dog they would work best with. Mm-hmm. She knows people's skills and ability. So she really matches them. She goes to Guiding Eyes. And the people who work there that have come into the facilities. And Gloria will say, you know, this person is a really high-energy person, so we can give her a high-energy dog. Or, you know, this person's kind of laid back. And if they don't match out well, and sometimes they don't, there are enough people within all of the facilities that, you know, they will switch a dog from one facility to another. One dog might not do well working around men because of the lower, harder voices, needs more maybe of a female type thing. So she'll take the puppy from a male facility and put it in one of the female facilities. Mm-hmm. It's all about what is best for the dog. And when you get involved in the program, you understand that if the dog has to leave your facility and leave you, it's not about you. It's about the dog. Mm-hmm, it's about what's going to make that dog reach its fullest potential.
Isn't it hard, though, Susan? You have to say goodbye.
Yeah,
that's got to hurt.
It does hurt. But, you know, it's like sending your kid off to college or sending your child off to that first summer camp. You knew it was coming, first of all, so you have a little chance to prepare. But that's what their job is. Your job was to get them ready to leave. And their job is then to carry on. Their job is to help someone have a fuller life. So, yeah, you know, you mourn for them, you cry, and, you know, it's like with anything, you miss them, but you also know that was the objective.
Yes, I understand.
You know, oh, it is hard.
Do you ever get to find out how the dog's doing, where it got placed, and what's happening?
That depends on the person who has the dog. The people who have our dogs are told that the dogs were raised in prison. And at the very beginning, there was a little, some of the people who use guide dogs were a little concerned that the dogs might be raised to be very aggressive. They were being, you know, raised, socialized by felons, you know, and they were concerned. It was their safety, which is very understandable. We were able, and a lot of people were able to convince them that the dogs were really great dogs. And some people just take the dog and are very thankful they have a dog. And other people say, I really want to thank the women in person. And there are a couple people who have our dogs who have come back to the facility who maintain a lot of contact. Then there are other people that, you know, thank you very much for raising a good dog. And that's okay. I didn't raise the dog to get a new friend. And I didn't raise the dog to get someone's gratitude. Mm-hmm. My purpose was to help.
Yeah.
And by doing that, fulfilling a goal. And so however you know, I'm not here to intrude on anyone's life. And some people just want to get on with their life, and that's okay.
Yeah.
The other day I was coming home, and it was during the daytime, and I was driving down local street, and I saw the guide dog vans. And then I saw a young woman who was probably in her mid-20s with her guide dog. It was probably the first or second week they had been working together. She was just zooming up and down the streets. She looked very comfortable, very relaxed. There was an instructor that was about 10 feet behind her. Mm-hmm. The dog did all the appropriate things that a dog's supposed to do. And my heart just filled because this was seeing the come. When you go to graduation, they have a host ceremony type thing. And then all the puppy raisers, whether they were from Puppies Behind Bars or if they were just private families, because private families do this as
well. Right, I've heard that, yeah.
People are there and the dogs remember you, you know? So you see them in a mode where they're kissing and hugging because they're off harness. They're allowed to be just dogs. So you don't really see them working. When I saw them out on a local street mm-hmm. just working, I was like, look at that. I mean, this young woman just was like, you know, moving right along like she was just out walking her dog.
Yeah.
It was so incredible. I can't adequately describe it. It was just, and that's how people feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when they say, oh, well, this dog sniffed out Mayor Bloomberg's jet, it was like, yes. You know, it's like you just have that sense of pride as you would.
That's
in a
my
child.
Kid.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, the best part of this story is I can see it on your face. Yes, you've done a wonderful thing for whoever that handicapped person is and for the dog. But look at how much good it also does for you.
Oh, it really does.
It's such a heartwarming story. It's fabulous.
It has been incredible for me.
It's a huge pleasure to meet you and to talk to you. I think
Thank
Puppies
you.
Behind Bars is a fantastic story.
It's a great program, and it's through the dedication of a lot of people and their spouses putting up with that dedication that program has really grown to be what it is.
Thank you very much, Susan Hallett.
Thank you.
Got a win-win story in your own life or in your community you can share with us? Email us. Go to www.marynoel.org/voices. Just click on Contact Us or call us at 877-MARY-KNOWL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Gloria Gilbert Stoga and Susan Hallett are just two of the voices of our world. This week's show was produced by Kathy Golden, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. You heard music today by Lita Rosa. To suggest a topic or for more information on today's guest, please go to our program's website, www.marynoel.org/voices. To get Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish, please call 877-MARY-KNOWL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. If you missed a portion of this program, you can catch us on our website, www.marynoel.org/voices. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.